You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Welcome back to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. I want to thank you for your patience while I took a break from the podcast. As I've talked about before, one of the reasons for the break, besides just taking a rest, was to rethink how I wanted to do the podcast. Previously, the podcast was broken up into seasons with weekly episodes, and each episode in the season was centered around some theme. And the podcast now is going to be focused on answering Bible questions that have been submitted to me from you, the listeners. And there are several ways to submit questions for future episodes, and I'll go over those at the end of the episode. But instead of a weekly podcast, I'm switching this to a schedule where we release episodes twice a month. And so hopefully that'll allow me to stay on top of things a little bit better. I'm also changing the numbering of the episodes. So if you're looking for certain episodes, it's going to be numbered differently. Previously, because we were doing seasons, we would have the episodes labeled as Season 4, Episode 8 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. So instead, since we're not doing seasons anymore, they're just going to be labeled by the episode number. And since we're restarting this, we're going to be starting over on the counting from the beginning. So this is Episode 1 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. And as I said, we're talking about questions that have been submitted, and already we have several questions lined up. But the first one we're going to talk about today is about miracles, a question that was submitted to me via Twitter. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. The particular question is, how do miracles constitute problems for skeptics? There are many people who reject God and His Word, and people have various reasons for doing this. But Hebrews 11 and verse 1 tells us that God has given us a reasonable basis for faith. Hebrews 11, 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen," or the evidence of things not seen. God has given a reasonable basis for faith. The reasonable basis for faith means that we can have faith when evidence is presented. And so people can have faith when evidence is presented if they are honest. Jesus in the parable of the sower talked about those who have a good and honest heart. These are the ones who bear fruit. In John 7 and verse 17, Jesus talked about how those who are willing to do His will, meaning they are open to following Him and doing His will if what He's saying is true and if He is who He says He is, they will know of the teaching, whether He was speaking of Himself or whether what He was saying was actually true. Over in John chapter 20, at the end of the Gospel of John, John said that what he wrote, the things that he wrote in his Gospel, they were recorded so that we can believe in Christ. John 20, verses 30 and 31 says, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Part of why he wrote down what he did in the Gospel, part of the reason why we have recorded what is recorded in the Gospel of John, is we have miracles that show us who Jesus is and provide that reasonable basis for faith. The Gospel of John records 7 miracles that Jesus performed. You have Jesus turning water into wine in chapter 2. He heals a nobleman's son in chapter 4. In chapter 5, He heals a lame man. Chapter 6, you have Jesus feeding 5,000 and also Jesus walking on the water. Chapter 9, He healed a blind man. And in chapter 11, He raised Lazarus from the dead. And besides these, there's the greatest miracle of all, that Jesus was raised from the dead, which is recorded in John chapter 20, right before John explained that these things have been written so that you may believe. So you have these miracles that were recorded. And when you have miracles, they present a problem for skeptics. The reason for this is that they want to ignore God. They want to reject the Bible and not think of the Bible as being the Word of God. Yet miracles show that God was active in these events and that His word is to be heeded. And by heeded means that His word is to be believed and is to be obeyed. So if these miracles happened, then there is no reasonable basis to ignore God. There is no reasonable basis to reject His word, and there's no reasonable basis to fail to obey Christ. So if these miracles happened, then the logical and reasonable response should be, I need to believe in God. I need to obey God. So in this episode, we're going to highlight just two of these miracles. The first one is Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. This is recorded in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I wanted to notice in particular the response to Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. The leaders of the Jews did not want to accept that Jesus was the Son of God. This was true from the very beginning when he first began preaching, first began his public ministry. The leaders of the Jews did not want to accept that Jesus was the Son of God. Yet he performed this miracle in raising Lazarus from the dead that made it where they didn't know how to oppose Jesus. They didn't know how to contradict him. They didn't know how they could convince people that he was not who he claimed to be. These were his enemies who were saying this and who were thinking this. We see in John chapter 11, in verses 47 and 48, therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They recognize Jesus is performing signs, and Jesus is doing things that if he keeps doing them, everyone is going to believe who he is. Everyone's going to believe this. These were his enemies who were saying this. This wasn't the disciples of Jesus saying, well, if he just keeps doing this, everyone's going to believe. They were the enemies of Jesus. They knew that if he kept going, everyone was going to believe in him, and they wanted to stop him. Verse 53, from that day on, they planned together to kill him. Not only wanting to kill Jesus, but in the next chapter, in John chapter 12, they wanted to destroy the evidence of this miracle, the miracle in which he raised Lazarus from the dead. They wanted to destroy Lazarus. John chapter 12 and verses 10 and 11. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. Here you have a man who was dead, and now he's alive again. And so many of the Jews, now that they see this man who was dead and now he's alive again, well, they believe in Jesus because Jesus raised him from the dead. The leaders of the Jews saw this. They recognized this. They knew if this continues, we're not going to be able to oppose it. We're not going to be able to deter people from following Jesus. But then you have the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead. And over in Romans chapter 1, Paul explained the significance of Jesus being raised from the dead. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 4, in talking about Christ, it says, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus' resurrection proved that he was the Son of God. Yet over in Matthew chapter 28, after Matthew records the resurrection of Jesus, the leaders, they wanted to suppress the evidence. They didn't want anyone to hear about this. They wanted to come up with some other story. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 11, and while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all that had happened. The guard that was there at the tomb to make sure nothing happened to the body of Jesus, they came and reported what happened. Verse 12, and when all they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, you are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. They had to come up with a story that, well, no, Jesus' disciples stole the body. That that this didn't really happen, that he's not really alive from the dead. His disciples had to steal the body. So you have the disciples on one hand saying that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and the leader saying, well, no, the disciples stole the body. We get to Acts chapter 4, and the leaders are threatening the apostles, telling them not to teach anymore, not to preach about Jesus. Acts 4 and verse 18, when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. In verse 21, it says, when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. In chapter 5 and verse 28, the apostles are called back before the council, and they are told, we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. I thought Jesus' disciples stole the body from the tomb. Obviously, the leaders knew that the body was not stolen from the tomb. In verse 40, they took Gamaliel's advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them, and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they released them. They did not want people hearing about Jesus. They threatened the apostles. They came up with stories about what could have happened. How can we know that what the disciples taught about Jesus and his being raised from the dead, how do we know that is true? How do we know that that is true and that it wasn't just made up and the leaders were just frustrated and couldn't get them to stop saying this? How do we know that it was true? Well, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You have eyewitness testimony. Eyewitness testimony that from people who saw Jesus alive after he had been killed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5, after Paul said that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, verse 5, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. There were hundreds of witnesses that saw Jesus alive after he was crucified. And so you have this, that they saw him alive. And notice the apostles. In John chapter 20, after Jesus was crucified, before they realized what was going on, you have in John 20 and verse 19, it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. After Jesus was put to death, the disciples were afraid that something like that could happen to them too. They were meeting in secret. They had the doors shut. They were in fear of the Jews. And then you get to Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, and they are boldly proclaiming publicly where everyone can hear, where the leaders would hear, and this is why they were being threatened. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He is Lord and Christ. And in this sermon, he talked about, verse 31, the resurrection of Christ. Verse 32, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. They were boldly proclaiming this in Jerusalem after they saw Jesus alive. And so they were afraid for their lives after Jesus was crucified. And now, all of a sudden, they are boldly proclaiming that Jesus was alive. All of the apostles faced severe persecution, and most of them faced death because they were going around preaching that Jesus was crucified, he was raised from the dead, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They were preaching this resurrection. They were persecuted severely for it. Most of them were killed because they were teaching this. Yet none of them changed their story. even over a period of decades. Why would they do this? Why would they keep teaching this? Why would they keep saying Jesus was raised from the dead if it only brought trouble to them? Why would they not admit after 20 years, 30 years, 50 years that, well, okay, no, this didn't really happen? None of them changed their story. Why? Why would they not change their story? The answer is simple. It's because they knew Jesus had been raised from the dead. And because he had been raised from the dead, Jesus' resurrection gave them hope for eternal life, for their own resurrection, even if they would be killed, for saying that Jesus had been raised from the dead and he is Lord and Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, Paul said, "If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." Meaning if Jesus wasn't raised and there's nothing else to look forward to, then what are we doing in teaching that Jesus was raised from the dead? Why are we following this? Why are we doing any of these things? Verse 20, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." The resurrection is believable because it is based upon eyewitness testimony. And this is how we establish the truthfulness of all history. It's based on eyewitness testimony. And these eyewitnesses were credible because they maintained their testimony despite personal loss, threat of harm, ongoing persecution, and even death. There is no reasonable basis to think that this story, if it was just made up, would continue to be taught over and over in city after city by the apostles and others who saw Jesus alive. There's no reason to think that that should be continued. There's no reasonable basis to think that, well, they just kept preaching because they wanted to preach it, or because they thought they would gain something out of it. No, none of that happened. There was no gain in this life. There was no honor or prestige or anything like that. There was persecution. There was death. And none of them changed their story. And so when we think about evidence for miracles, there's no reasonable explanation for all of this, other than the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And if Jesus was raised from the dead, then he was who he said he was. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And his word is true. His word needs to be followed. Now, before we quit, I want to make a couple comments about modern day miracles, so-called miracles. There are some Bible believers who claim that there are miracles that are going on today. And these miracles are attacked also by skeptics, and for good reason. They're attacked by skeptics. They ought to be attacked by Bible believers too. But the Bible teaches that the purpose of miracles was to confirm the message that was given by God. When Jesus gave his apostles the Great Commission to go preach the gospel to all creation, they performed miracles in connection with that commission. Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, "They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed." They were performing miracles, and this was proof that what they were saying was true. But now the message has been fully revealed. Faith has been once for all handed down to the saints, as Jude 3 says. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 tells us that we have everything pertaining to life and godliness. We're not waiting on some new message. We're not waiting for something else to be revealed. Therefore, there's not a need for these miracles anymore today. And so they've been done away with. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explains this in more detail. We won't go into it now. I'll put a link in the show notes that will kind of explain this further. But you have in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 an explanation that the revelation from God was ongoing at that point. It was in bits and pieces. But once the revelation was completed, those miracles were going to be done away with. And so modern-day miracles, so-called, are not like the ones that are recorded in the Bible. So we don't need to defend these so-called miracles against skeptics. If skeptics want to attack those miracles, let them attack them. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about those miracles as the basis for faith. We need to emphasize the evidence that God has provided in His Word. Those miracles that we find there, especially the miracle of the resurrection of Christ. Because when that can be established, when we show the evidence for that, then the only reasonable response is that Jesus is the Christ. And so we need to follow Him and do what He has instructed us to do in His Word. So miracles are part of the evidence that proves the existence of God and the authority of His Word. They're going to be attacked by skeptics. But we need to teach them and show that they are a basis for faith today. Thanks for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. You can check out the show notes at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast for other things, other resources, ones that were mentioned in this episode. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, I would ask you to please share it with others. If you have a question for a future episode, there are several ways to submit it. You can fill out our podcast question submission form. You can find that in the show notes on the website. You can also send a message to the Plain Bible Teaching Facebook page. You can tweet your question on Twitter at Plain Bible Teach is the account for Plain Bible Teaching on Twitter. And submit your question, and I'll do my best to add that to the list of episodes we've got going now. We have episodes coming up dealing with the Holy Spirit, with Satan, suicide, what church to join, and more. So I hope you would stay tuned. We'll have a couple episodes that we'll be releasing in February, and we'll cover a couple of those topics, and we'll just continue going after that. So if you have a question, I encourage you to submit that question, and we'll try to get that answered for you. Thanks again for listening, and I'll talk with you later.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.